Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus was led by God into the wilderness, where the devil tempted him to sin. Hungry and thirsty, he was very vulnerable, but fought off Satan by using the Word of God. Today, lessons we can learn from the desert, the devil, and you. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer now continues a series on famines, deserts, and other hard places. In this, the fourth of seven messages, we'll see how Jesus handles Satan's temptation while in the wilderness.
The purpose of this series of messages is to prepare us for hard times, but some are already there. In the next two messages, I'm going to be speaking more about the global issues of the economy and all those things, but today it's one-to-one. I'm talking to you, and I'm speaking to myself. I have a friend that I've known for many years. He is not a member of Moody Church, nor does he attend here. I've walked with him through some very dark times, especially in the last 3 years. We meet somewhat regularly. In fact, I met with him last week. What I'm going to share with you as to what he's going through is done with his complete permission. You know that I would never share a story like this unless he signed off on all the details. So here goes. What has happened in his life in the last 3 years? He was unjustly fired from a job. A Christian man offered him the job and benefited from him, but then he was let go. He said far-reaching betrayals by close friends and business associates. Secondly, he went through a nasty and difficult second divorce, complete with false accusations of abuse, which were later proved to be false. Loss of health insurance and near loss of life due to cancer as a result of having no life insurance, although his physical needs are now being met, thankfully. Financial ruin, unable to pay his mortgage for 2 years. A bright spot is he does continue to live in the house, which is not yet totally foreclosed. Daily oppression from creditors, harassing phone calls. He said, I know I owe them money, but I have nothing to pay them. Complete reliance on food stamps, a food pantry, and the generosity of families and friends. Bank accounts, his and one of his children, illegally zeroed out without warning. Both parents died in the last 3 years, and because his bank account was zeroed out, he was not able to visit his mother the week before she died. Continual oppression from the legal system, one thing after another, injustice piled upon injustice. His son experienced a terrifying physical assault resulting in stitches in the head. Someone jumped on him, someone hiding behind the bushes, and so this is being investigated. Terrifying mistaken SWAT team raid of the outside of the house. SWAT team doing a lot of damage. And then the worst. And what I'm going to share with you now is worse than the others that I already gave. A son addicted to drugs, presently incarcerated, not helped by rehab. So when I met with him this past week, I said to him, my friend, my brother, after all this, every time I get an email, I almost know in advance what is happening now. Can't ever some good thing happen to him? I said, do you still trust God? So this is what he said, word for word. My faith has not only been strengthened as a result of this difficult period, my experience of seeing God so faithfully work in my life has given me more confidence to extend my faith in ways that I would not have had the courage to do previously. I've seen my children and others in my life respond favorably to Jesus Christ as a result of observing my faith despite these circumstances. And I have seen how God can use hardships to open doors, to develop new relationships as a result of my brokenness and humility. I now better understand the nature of God and the love of Jesus. And I want to say, wow, and thank you. You say today, well, Pastor Lutzer, what is God up to? Isn't one trial enough? Does it have to be multiple trials, one thing after another? The loss of a job, injustice, mistreatment by Christians. When does the list ever end? Well, in this message, I'm glad you asked, I'm going to explain to you from God's word exactly what's happening and what the deal is and what God is doing and what the devil is doing. Thanks for joining me on this journey. The passage of Scripture is actually the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and I do hope that you turn to it. It's always so important to see it there in the Word of God. Jesus is tested by the devil. But we can't understand the fourth chapter unless we go back a couple of verses at the last part of the third chapter. Jesus is being baptized by John the Baptist, who later on is beheaded. This past week I was speaking at a conference where somebody said that a man, you know, sometimes we have people who are marginal in some ways. He came to the platform and said, "I'm John the Baptist, I want to speak." And the pastor said, "You're not John the Baptist." The man said, "How do you know?" And the pastor said, "Because you still have your head on." I guess that would be one way to know that he was not John the Baptist. Well, this was when John still had his head on. He baptized Jesus, and then it says in verse 16, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" And then the Bible says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil." In fact, it's the Gospel of Mark who says, "Immediately Jesus was led to the desert to be tempted of the devil." Why immediately? What's the rush? Jesus had just heard from the Father, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Those words had just come from heaven. And now the question is, will Jesus cleave to those words and believe those words no matter what God puts him through? That's the issue that needs to be settled. So Jesus is driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, there are purposes for temptation. There are purposes. The devil has his purpose. And what is the devil's purpose? What the devil wants to do is to take the fabric of God's love toward Jesus and tear it. He wants to put daylight between the words of the Father and the experience of Jesus to get Jesus to doubt whether the Father spoke truth. "You're my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The devil, Diabolos, is called the accuser. He's an accuser. If you use the other word, the word Apollyon means destroyer. So he's out to destroy. This past week, I listened to a message by a man by the name of Jim Greer, a very good message, in which he called the devil the splitter. And I love that, the splitter. What he wants to do is to split Jesus from the will of the Father. And that's exactly what he wants to do in my life and your life, is to make sure that we are not in fellowship with Christ. So that's the devil's intention in the whole issue of temptation. And what is God's issue? What is God after? God wants to prove that there are some people who will believe him, even though when you look around, there's no reason at all to believe that he's on your side. But you still believe that he is as good as his promises, and he will be with us even when the evidence for that is somewhat hard to find. The bottom line is the devil tempts us to bring out the worst in us. God tests us to bring out the best. And that contest means that it is oftentimes played out in the desert. In the case of Israel, it was played out in the desert. Now in the case of Jesus, it's played out here in a land of barrenness, unending sand, no water or bread in sight. So there are purposes for these temptations. Let me say also that there are diverse temptations, diverse, and we'll look at the text in a moment. When Satan tempts us, he doesn't come to us like he does Jesus. He doesn't show up in a fury and say, "I'm here, I'm the devil." We would be terrified. So with us, he works it very differently. He works it like we might use a trap to catch a mouse. In our first apartment that Rebecca and I had, we had some mice who were living along with us, and we soon learned that they cannot be caught when you're sitting there. They see you. I remember one scurrying across the floor, and it was a very slippery floor, and he was having such difficulty gaining traction. I still see it in my mind. But we learned that you could have a trap so that even when we weren't there, they would be caught, and they were. And the devil never comes saying, "I'm the devil." He comes with a trap, with a lure, and he has many different lures, and he does not announce his coming. But behind the trap is a trapper, and behind the lie is the liar.
My friend, today this is Pastor Lutzer, and you are listening to a message that, in my opinion, is incredibly important. We need to know what it is that the devil has in mind when he comes to tempt us. We need to be able to recognize his temptations, and we need to know how to withstand him. And the story of Jesus in the desert is very instructive to us and can be transforming. The message that you are listening to is entitled "The Desert, the Devil, and You," and it is part of a larger series entitled "Famines, Deserts, and Other Hard Places." I believe that many who are listening today are going through a very difficult time, and what they need is some help, some direction, encouragement. I believe that difficult times are coming to the United States of America, but I already know that for many people who are listening, the difficult times have already come. That's why in a moment you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Meanwhile, let me say thank you to the many of you who pray for us. Your prayers, your intercession are incredibly important. And thanks also for your financial support. Together we are making a difference right here every day on Running to Win.
Erwin Lutzer, introducing "The Desert, the Devil, and You." Another message on famines, deserts, and other hard places. The devil wants us to think that sin is appealing and its consequences are manageable. Next time, why these are lies from hell. This series can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Ask about famines, deserts, and other hard places. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.